mother is bleeding?
At least I have a husband, you know.
Does anybody here believe it?
We are from Arkansas, no.
So we're back with season 4.
Ooh.
Episode 70. Good round number for a beginning of a season.
Agreed.
It's a good number. So just kind of reminder, we've been naming episodes from the baby name ballot from back when they were choosing Jordan's name. And we left off at Jody with an I.
Yep.
And the next name on the list is one that I would like skip over because, oh, okay. So we'll just say it. Ironically, it's Josie, which is, spoiler alert, is who is being born in today's episode. So I think normally like I was like, oh, I'll skip over the ones that become like actual children, like become actual children.
Right.
But I was like, you know, but because it lines up, I'm going to keep it. So just another funny little lineup. We've had these funny little things, and here's another one that we're going straight down the line of the baby ballot, and we land on Josie on the Josie episode. So it's pretty perfect. But before we get into the actual episode, I thought we'd do a little catch up.
Yeah.
While we've been away.
I'll take some mustard as well, please.
Okay. Many of you were very kind to kind of pop in and wish us, like, you know, express that you hoped that we were relaxing and having a great break. We very much appreciate it. Wish I could say it was relaxing, but it was not. It was not. It became everything we haven't had time for, just try to do it all. So, like, we got rock ordered and delivered and Tim hauled and
Tons of rock.
Tim was the hauler. I was the spreader. He got the, he had the harder job. I was sore even just from raking rock. And so I'm like, he's got to be fucking, but you didn't complain that much. I expected a lot more complaining.
I always make the joke that I'm like the Hulk. That's my secret. I'm always sore.
You're like, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
It's like always being tired. What's the difference?
It was wild. That was a lot of rock.
And it took like, because he was still working, they delivered it super late.
I had 2 days off. I was hoping they'd be able to deliver it on the first one. They were not. And then I got it scheduled for the second day, hoping they'd come like early. And they showed up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
They showed up late. It was 12 to 3 window and they came even later. Yeah. And then by the time he like lost light and like stuff like that. So it was like 3 days of him waking up in the morning and doing it before work.
Ooh, so it
was
rough.
It was the whole thing. So we did that. And then so that was one thing we're like, we got to get this done. And then I hadn't done a vintage sale in like 6-7 weeks because of taking on that other job. I just have not had the time. So I did a big Christmas sale, which number one, I want to do because I love Christmas.
And she has a lot of stock.
And I love vintage and I love to, you know, but oh my God. So I did. And it was, so it was for multiple reasons. It was to be like, hey guys, I'm still here. Like I'm not fully gone. But then also like not to have to hang on to this stuff for another full year. So I listed 55 items and I knew it was going to be rough. I knew it. And then it turned out to be fucking brutal. I underestimated the packing and shipping by like half to three quarters of a day. Because I'm very particular about my my packing. Knock on wood, I've been doing this for 1 year and 9 months and haven't had a break yet. And the 96% of what I sell is breakable.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like that's the majority. And so I'm very particular. So that takes me a long time. And it took me just a long, I mean, I was sending, I sent out like 24 packages, I feel like overall. Out of like the 55 items. And because out of the 55 items, some of them have multiples. So it's more than 55. It's just 55 postings, like listings. So one person doing 24. Oh my God. And it took for, oh, it took for fucking ever. It took me so long that big thing happened. I didn't even go grocery shopping for Thanksgiving until Tuesday.
That's huge.
I've never done that in my fucking life. I'm always like, so I was that person. I'm like, this is what it's like to be surrounded by the people who are just now shopping. Like, I'm like, these are the people that are buying their frozen turkey a day and a half before. Like, this is what this is like.
Yeah.
Very new experience for me. And for since the beginning of time, since I've been cook, I cook a lot of, my oldest sister hosts, but I cook a lot of the things for, mm-hmm. I bring a lot. And one of the things, I don't know what that's like to just show up with like a 9x9 of sweet potatoes and call
and that's
it.
Your
like, I don't know what that's
yeah.
like. But one of the things I've been doing since high school is I make an ass load of pies. And I'm like 16 years old, everything's from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy the rollout pie dough, the rolled up. Mm-hmm. You guys.
And she was agonizing over
you
it
guys.
For a while.
Oh, it's been a year. Another thing we did, though, we went to White Christmas.
Yep.
That was lovely.
For our anniversary.
Versary.
I got her tickets to Arizona Broadway Theater here in town, up by where we like went to high school and stuff. And they did White Christmas, and it was delightful.
It was a wonderful show, but you know the real highlight? I was the fucking belle of the ball.
Fashionista.
Fucking
over
belle
here.
Of the ball. Number one, Tim and I were looking around, like, because we went to the bar out, you know, before they opened the doors. And we're, like, looking around, we're holding our drinks, and we're like, we are by far the youngest people here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when we were leaving, there was some kids that looked like in their early 20s that probably were there with their grandparents or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so later on, we found that we were not the youngest in the theater. But when you looked around,
Easily.
And
there was a couple. There was a handful of couples that were around our age group.
Really? Because I didn't even see. But I was like, you know, I'm gonna relish in this because this is not gonna be forever. We're not gonna be the youngest in the room for much longer. So I was already like, damn, we're the youngest ones here. And then when we were walking in, the guy like scanning the tickets was like, I love your outfits. And I was like, oh my god, this is great. And then like when we sat down. They're like in line, they were talking about my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we sat down, because it's like a dinner theater, so like our table and there's like the tier above
it's
us.
Tiered, yeah.
The one above us, they're like, oh, we were talking about your shoes, or a different set of ladies who were talking about. And by the way, they're not even that fabulous. They're just like basic strappy black heels. And then when I went to go to the bathroom later, the person at the will call like desk was like, I love your dress. And I'm like, I am fucking killing it here. I need to hang out at the Arizona Broadway Theater more often because I was the fucking belle of the ball.
Oh, yeah. We did look real good.
But and you know what it also is, too, is I bought a new dress. And, you know, I've talked about how my relationship with food may be better, but body image is another thing. I felt pretty good in that dress. So good. Then I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So
it was you were feeling it.
It was a good sweater dress. It was a good dress. Then Thanksgiving, Tim actually got to participate in the whole time.
Yeah. My sister-in-law was like, you guys came in one car.
that's a big deal
for us.
It's
a big one.
Like, we are always, like, separate. Mm-hmm. Like, last year, you showed up to it, like, was it after pie or right before pie? But, like...
I think, yeah, it was just super late.
Yeah, like, he's always, like... And then he's exhausted, and so it's, like... He's not really himself. It's not, like, really fun. It's not, like, you know, and then he's just needing to get home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, he got to be there the whole time because at his new job, they're actually closed on the major holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, every time he's dealing with bullshit at this place, I'm like, just remember that they're closed on the holidays. Like, that's, like, what I've been telling myself for months.
Yeah.
They're closed on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
And what we talked about was, you know, how many people are going to come eat at our establishment on Thanksgiving Day? Probably not a whole lot. And the thing my sister-in-law said was, you can't be everything to everybody. So you can't be open for the chance that there's going to be 20 people that want to come in and eat.
At a restaurant that's really not that type of restaurant.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, the talk came back to, I was at a hotel for a while. We had guests in the hotel. I get that we had to be open and we had to do, you know, certain things there. But, like, you're in a restaurant. The vast majority of people are not going to be eating at a restaurant that day.
Yeah.
You know? So, and there's other establishments that are open for that, but we don't have to be that. So it's kind of like, would you rather have your employees know that they get that day, or would you rather it be a fight for who requested that day off first and who, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot. There was a point... My little Arthur texted me and we were texting back and forth and I was like, this is fantastic. I played bocce ball for the first time and I felt very, very continental. I felt like a man about the world. And we even made the joke. I was like an old Italian man, I need to have like linen pant, khaki pants with like a linen shirt, you know. So we actually threw on a playlist that was called Italian Cooking Music. Nice. And it was like Dean Martin and like old Italian music, and we played bocce ball, and it was incredible. It was one of the best like chill afternoons I've had in a long time.
So you got to start with you were there for bocce ball and appetizers,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end of the night there was like me and Tim, a couple of our nieces, and one of our brother-in-laws, and we were playing cards for a while and mm-hmm. talking shit and listening to Christmas music.
Yeah,
it was fun. And it was funny to hear, like, my brother-in-law, who doesn't normally, like, talk a lot about, like, Christmas stuff, and have him be like, oh, I actually really like this song, or like, oh, yeah. you don't like that one? This is one of my favorites. And I was like, oh, I've never heard this side of you. So it was kind of fun.
Me and Whitney are very open about which songs are our favorites, so.
So that's kind of the catch-up of what we've been up to the last 2 weeks. It's felt busy.
Mm-hmm. But we got the Christmas lights up on the house yesterday.
Still decorating. It's still... still work in progress.
I found if you've seen it or we've talked about it, Whitney loves a blow mold. Absolutely sure adores do. A blow mold.
Sure do.
My favorite pickups from last year were Elves. It was a series from like the
vintage.
Yeah, from like the late 70s, early 80s. There's a couple different kind of kinds. You can see the difference in their face, but it's elves that are holding stuff. So one of them has a big giant candy cane, one of them's holding like a stack of like four gifts. So I found her those last year, and then this year hold it out to Lowe's, because I found a like picture perfect Frosty the Snowman holding a
Frosty
Christmas tree.
The Snowman,
like, he's perfect.
He is perfect.
Yep. So we have that out there.
Yep. All right. I guess that'll do for a catch up, I guess.
That's a good idea. What about Mildred? What's new in Mildred's world?
Oh, Mildred. Oh, what is going on with Mildred?
She's been going outside.
Yes, with the nice weather. So I guess this is a Mildred minute.
There we go. Dee 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 dee.
With the nicer weather, and because we also planted clover, so I've been outside like watering.
In place of grass.
In place of grass, yes. So I've been out there a lot, and I've been leaving like the door open. So she's a little an adventurer now. She's adventuring.
Gotta go on
outside.
An adventure.
Yeah. I think she feels real cool, and like she sits and wags at the birds, but does nothing about it. But I think she
like the little wiggle they do before they pounce.
But then she really does nothing.
But then she won't do anything. Yeah.
But I think she's enjoying being a little adventurer.
Yeah. Because we have like brick. Our backyard is kind of cut in half, so the half has the rock, and then the other half is where we have that. So she'll like walk along the brick ending all the way around and listen to the birds, and it's kind of funny.
She's enjoying it.
I do want to point out one funny thing about us kind of doing the backyard.
Okay.
So we have this little like cement casted cat that's like looking up, like up and to the left. And we put that in our backyard as kind of an homage to Momo. Because Momo used to go in our little townhouse backyard and like sun herself. And she would stand up there, and as the
shadows. She'd find any sliver and she'd move with it.
Yeah. As the shadows would move up, we have a very funny picture of her sitting. I think we have a picture of it. Of her sitting there, and as the sun got higher, she stretched her neck higher because she was just trying to stay in the sun.
So cute.
So we have this cement casting of like it's like a garden decor like cat. So when we first threw seed down for the clover in the backyard, the birds were eating it. And every once in a while I would go out there and I'm like, man, how do we keep these birds from eating all the seed that we're dropping? And just as a thought, you know, people put up those like fake owls to keep pigeons away. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see. And I put that little Momo statue right in the middle of like where our grass would be. Thing works like a charm.
It does. So Momo's doing work even in that afterlife. Doing work. That's our girl.
Yeah. So she never got to be in this house, but she's working hard.
She's working
in the backyard.
For us. We appreciate it.
But, all right. Well, shall we get to it?
So that was just kind of catching up, shooting the shit. Now we have some bingo business.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted on our Instagram. When did I post that? This morning? It was this morning. Who knows fucking time anymore?
What, time was weird.
Like, I don't even fucking know what's going on. What day is it? What the fuck is happening? No. What am I doing?
This specific break, I felt lasted. I felt like it was a blink and it was 5 seconds. But then when I think about the things that we did, it feels like it was 27 years since we've done this.
Well, I couldn't. I'm like, was that this morning? I'm like, oh, that was just this morning. So this morning, Jesus Christ, I posted a picture of a special gift that Mildred and I made. It's a Bingo Champion Award.
I took it.
Awarded for Tim just for this season. Season 4 is up for grabs. So just to explain, it was modeled, inspired and modeled after a plaque that I made for the annual man trip that Tim goes on with the brother-in-law.
Have we talked about the man trip?
Yes, we have. We've talked about the man trip. I just don't know if we've talked about. But they have. You guys always have a big cornhole tournament.
Can I have a small moment to like describe why?
Yes.
Okay. Real quick, I'm going to give you the quick rundown. So when I was in the family, and then the brother-in-law, like newer than I was in the family, the two older brothers-in-law were going to
until my sister had two boys, the only men in the family were the ones that married us. So that's all the men folk until.
Yes. So the two older ones were going to go camping with some friends and stuff. And they were like, well, we have these two new guys in the family. Why don't we invite them? So we all went camping together. There was like 7 of us that went on this trip. And everybody fended for themselves when it came for food and when it came to kind of like what we were doing out there. And obviously myself and one of the other brothers-in-law were new. So we were just excited to be invited, right? So we go on this trip and there's two momentous things that happened here. All of them are like ex-military, you know, one of them was a probation officer, all with like firearms training. So they took like, you know, guns to shoot, you know, and then it was me and the one that works in healthcare that just kind of like tagged along, right?
Food service and healthcare. And we're like, okay.
Right. So three things. The three momentous things were we were shooting clay pigeons where we were at, and the ones that shot the best were the food service worker and the healthcare
and the one
worker.
But to be fair, he shoots X-ray. So there you go.
Boom, there it is. So both of us shot really well, which was pretty fun.
I mean, it's in his title.
Exactly. It's a skill he uses every day. just a different medium, like an artist. So that was the first thing. The second thing was everybody kind of brought their own food. And because I worked in food service, they were like, oh, we should do like an Iron Chef like challenge, right? So when we were eating dinner, they were like, see what you can come up with. So I went into their like trailers and I did a burger because that was what everybody bought because it's easy, right? Like frozen burger patties and like hamburger buns. So I took the sausage patties out of sausage biscuits that were in the freezer and I cooked those off and I cooked those with onions, tomatoes, and Funyuns and made like a tapenade to put on a burger. So they always talk about this like sausage tapenade that I did for this burger. And that was the first year that like I felt cool because I had like something to contribute. And then after that, I was like, hey, this is what I can contribute. Why don't you let me do the food? So ever since then, since year 2, I've been doing the food for the whole trip for everybody. And then they pay me at cost, you know, for providing all the meals. The last momentous thing was that we were playing cornhole and we were like, hey, you guys want to throw some like money down on this? So the grand prize at the end was like $40 because there was like 7.
Because it was on a
there.
Whim, right?
Yeah.
The first time, yeah.
So we won, myself and my new healthcare worker brother-in-law won. So we were the first champions of this cornhole tournament. So Whitney ended up making us a trophy.
Well, it's a plaque.
Yeah.
So, like, I stained a piece of wood, and then I thrifted this, like, wall corn plaque, I guess.
Yep.
Spray painted it gold, and then I had letters on it that said, like, cornhole champs or, like, whatever. And so it was, like, this little placard, and I thrifted a small suitcase, and I had, like, velvet material you wrap it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the big thing. And so whoever wins year to year writes on the back, like, who won. So every single year at the annual man trip, there's a cornhole tournament, and whoever wins gets the plaque for the year. And because it's two people, depending on who it is, some people actually have split it 6 months and 6 months on who gets to have it in their house. Like, you'd go over to my sister's house and it's on their fucking mantle.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's funny.
It's a big thing.
It's a thing.
We're in year 11. We just did year 11.
Yeah.
So myself and my brother-in-law always talk about, like, we were the first champions because we went back and wrote all of the champions, and we will always be the first.
You'll always be the first, yeah. So, oh, sorry. You have something.
The last thing I had for that was Whitney also thrifted these corn mugs.
Yeah.
That are like ceramic, and they look like a tall coffee mug, and they look like an ear of corn.
Yeah.
So
I see all kinds of corn paraphernalia in my day. And for a while, I was like, I'll just take it all.
Yep. So what we do is we collect, we have, this is giving you some insights here, we have kind of an opening ceremony for the trip every year.
It's a whole thing with
it
Gene.
Is. And I'll talk about it later on, but two of the things of this, like related to this, are the fact that I go over what the menu is for the weekend.
Oh.
Yes, I give the menu. The second thing we do is everybody takes a shot together as part of the opening ceremonies. And
did Pat take a shot?
Yes.
Pat took a shot?
This year, not last year, but this year, yes.
Wow, Pat.
So everybody takes a shot, and then we collect the buy-in for the cornhole tournament in one of the corn mugs.
Who keeps the corn mugs? Andrew?
Drew does.
Drew
yeah.
does? Okay.
So we collect all the money in there. So everybody gives me the money for food.
I didn't realize that the mugs were still in play.
Yes. So they give me the money for food. It's in like an old camera bag too. That's what's funny is that they keep both of them in this like old camera bag. So believe me, there's a lot of ceremony here. It's like the Masters. It's a tradition unlike any other. So they put the money in there. They give me the money for food. And then just like in golf, where there's like a green jacket ceremony where you present the winners of this year are presented the trophy by the winners of last year. That still is going on.
Oh.
So we have a ceremony after the trip, too. So it's just funny to see that it started out as this like rinky dink, like, hey, you guys want to put some money on this? And now it's like a giant, like the buy-in's like $40 now. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So.
So that was the whole story behind the inspiration for this plaque.
Whitney has a history of making plaques for winners.
So I was just like, okay. So I made little gold, a spray painted gold, like little letters that say bingo champion. And this
so good.
DUTD at the bottom for digging up the Duggars. And then I couldn't think of like, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to make this bingo board? And so like,
it's
I found
so
like,
smart.
They're little like letter squares. Mm-hmm. The other side, the
like Scrabble
other side.
Tile
yeah,
size,
they're
yeah.
like Scrabble tiles. And at first I was like, okay, I'm going to spray paint them gold to be like the winning like run across
the board.
But I was trying to figure out how to make the fucking board, and I was like, do I get sticks and then cut them to like make a grid? And then after a while I was like, no, I'm just gonna use the fucking tiles. But
it was so perfect
unpainted. So anyhoozle, if you want to see, it's on Instagram. So we unveiled it. So Tim it is his for this whole season.
I'm gonna sign the back as the first.
He is the holder. I need to paint the back. Do you see how it's all fucked up on the? I made it in one day. It's all fucked up. Like there's like there's still the sticker on the back.
It's so perfect.
It's got like I was really sloppy. So like on the other one, don't I have like no stain on the back of it?
Oh yeah, it's pretty perfect.
It was precision.
Yeah.
This one's slopped. So there's stain all over the back. So I'm gonna have to like paint the back side or something. Or figure out something to attach to it to write on. But so Tim gets it for this next year. But season four, I'm feeling confident about season four. Okay, so Tim's a bingo champion. He has the plaque. But continuing with the business of bingo, though, new season means new squares.
Mm-hmm.
So we posted on Instagram it wasn't nothing in cement, but just like a draft of what we had going into season four, kind of what we wanted to keep, some new stuff. But we're like, hey, what other things would you want to keep from season three? What else would you want to add? We got a lot of great submissions. There were some that were really great ideas, but I do feel like they're better suited for some future seasons.
Yeah.
Like, for example, mm-hmm. there was, like, side hugging and, like, chaperone stuff. Mm-hmm. We're a ways out from another courtship. Yeah. So I just don't want to do something that I know won't get any play. So there's stuff that's filed away that we can mm-hmm. use for a more appropriate season.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so we got some good submissions, and we finalized a season four board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go over everything right now, but just I want to give you just a couple highlights just to see what you're working with. I'm going to post the finalized board on Instagram when we mm-hmm. drop this episode, so you can catch
maybe
a glimpse.
Play along.
But like, you know, there we kept some stuff. So like we kept Ginger Face and we kept Joy Sass and
our girl Johanna,
just for example. But we added things like Filthy Feet and Thumbs Up. And we changed Joe and JD Speaks to Jana Speaks. We added Jamesy Bug Creeps Us Out or Feral Child Moment.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we add? Lego Hands.
Lego Hands is a good one.
When he does that, you know. So just to give
you an
idea.
The Thumbs Up is a big one.
So there's some old, some new. So if you want to see the full thing, check out the IG, but otherwise you'll kind of hear it along the way, unless we never get a square. And also, something that's kind of fun, a fellow Whitney listener, sent us, I had said, like, oh, I had been looking for, because we have our little Pringle cans and things like that, but I had been looking for tater tot and pickle
mm-hmm.
bingo markers, wasn't able to find any, but... listener Whitney
sent us
some tater tot and pickle chips.
Pickle chips, yeah,
so
they're
perfect.
So
we do have some taters and pickle chip markers now. So thank you, Whitney.
The joke that me and Mildred made was, I hope your bingo board doesn't get greasy from those tater tots.
Merp. I will say, though, this also reminds me, kind of since we're on the subject, now probably like a handful of listeners have sent me their bingo boards they've created about the podcast.
That's so funny.
And every time they send it to me, I'm fucking nervous to look at it. Every fucking
because it
time.
Makes you think of
no,
what
it's
do you
so,
do
like,
a lot.
Because you're like, it's a fucking mirror. As if I don't get enough people telling me, you say this a lot, or you do this, or you do that. Like, you know, as we get enough of people that are just like, did you know that you're always doing this? Like, I mean, I... Yeah. So then I'm like, am I going to look at this fucking bingo board and it's just going to be another thing that's just like, by the way, like, you know, like, and so I'm like, every time I'm like, oh God, but yeah. Every single person that's actually sent us a bingo board, I've been like, oh, at the end, like I can handle that. Like
right,
what they've sent
right.
so far, I'm like, okay, I can live with that. I can sleep yeah. tonight and not be like, so, but some of them are kind of funny. Like it's, you know, Whitney actually gets a bingo. There was like the fucks are in the double digits this episode. I mean, just like little things, like there was like Whitney singing, you know, mm-hmm. Tim tells a story about work. It just has been like random stuff. But seriously, every single time I'm just like, oh God, what is it going to say? Because I'm like, it's a fucking mirror to yourself. And yeah. we're constantly having people like put a mirror up and you're just like, oh God, again, again, you know.
It is an odd, before we get into the meat of this, I do feel like it is an odd paradigm because I feel like you and I are relatively confident in the people that we are, but there's nothing that can pop that balloon stronger than having to listen to yourself talk.
Oh, believe
every
me.
Week.
Editing this, it is fucking mm-hmm. torture. You guys don't understand. Yeah. Like we, like, you know, because we record in parts, usually it's Monday, Tuesday, and I have to listen for edits. And yeah. I feel like there's not enough space in between. I dread every Wednesday morning I wake up and I'm like, fuck my life. Like, it's hard to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And there's even things that, like, I can't edit out every single fucking thing I say, so you just leave it in. But so it's even when you're already self-conscious about things and then somebody's like, by the way, did you know? And you're just like, oh, thank you. I'm already self-conscious enough. Like, you know? So
it's weird. And I always relate it to, like, Scrubs. There's a point where Elliot, here you go. Whoever has the bingo square, if Tim makes a media reference, here it is. There's a point where Elliot is dating somebody new and she's trying to keep, like, her little, the way that she describes it, like the little bits of, like, neuroticism. She's trying to keep him from figuring those out. And she's like, I have to let my little bits of crazy out so he doesn't realize all the things that go through my head. And she goes, like, the reason that I can't go to the bathroom at his apartment is because I'm afraid of toilet snakes. And at one point,
I love Elliot.
And it's Carla. Carla's the one that says something about toilet snakes. And she was like, I did the same thing when I dated Turk, and I couldn't tell him that I didn't go to the bathroom at his apartment because I was afraid of toilet snakes. And then Elliot goes, well, great, now I am too. Oh man, yeah. There's nothing harder than looking at yourself in a mirror, especially in an arena like this.
Well, it's, and hard. I feel like you already are doing it to yourself, and so then when people are like,
"Hey, did you realize?" You're like, "Yes, I realized."
Yeah, feel the need to, like, let you know, especially when some of the times they feel like they're just pointing out. I mean, generally, if they're pointing it out, I don't think they think it's a good thing. Let's just say that. Like, I don't think they're like,
nice.
I don't even think they're like, ha, 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 this is so great. They're just like, did you know? But then there's the ones that are actively, I'm like, wow, you're going out of your way to tell me something you hate about me. Thank you very much for sending me this message. Thanks. You know? Yep. So, you know, it's just, it's hard enough. Is it, like, right now, someone will be like, did you know? You just said, you know, like, three times in a row. But my point is that, if anybody listens to themselves for a period of time, you'd find stuff about yourself as well. And then their argument would be like, well, I don't have a podcast. Or, you know, like, they'd have something, some sort of rebuttal along those lines. And I'm like, yes, it's true. I understand I'm putting myself out there. But it also doesn't make it easy at the same time. Yeah. But this went on a whole sideways thing.
We went to a place. All right. Where are we at?
I think we should actually get to the episode now.
Let's get to the episode.
It's a good thing there's no dig this week, because apparently we're digging into other things, like all of my self-conscious feelings that everybody...
We're in a new season.
Yes, new season.
Think about how far we've gone and how far we've come. Like, it's been a journey, and I'm
today's
happy we're here,
dig,
and I'm happy you're all here. So
today's dig is all about all of the ways that Whitney's self-conscious and everybody lets her know.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so getting to the actual episode now. The opening episode to season 4 is titled Special Duggar Delivery, and it premiered January 31st, 2010. The last episode we recapped of season 3 premiered December 22nd, so it's just like a little over 5 weeks between them.
Okay.
I just point that out, that their seasons are very close together. Like, I don't think their filming schedules change much, you know? Like, there aren't these massive breaks. Like, some reality shows, you know, that they only film 3 months out of the year. These TLC-type shows pretty much always have the cameras rolling.
Yep.
I mean, money, you know?
Oh, yeah, you gotta get in there.
You gotta exploit 24-7, or they're at least doing, like, an 18-6.5, you know? As also stated in the title, this episode is a special, so it's an hour long, so that means we are digless this week, except for the fact that we just dug into all of my insecurities. So there was
your
dig.
But other than that,
that was
we're
your
all
dig.
Diglett, a Pokemon reference.
Merp. So let's get into it. Starting off, we get a black screen with the disclaimer, the following program contains scenes of a live birth. Viewer discretion is advised. So that means that then cue the intervention music in my head. Sidestep for a moment, though. The thing I always wondered about Intervention is, like, over time, as the show went on, how did more of them not get the fucking hint when they were asked to spell their name? Like, my name is Whitney. W-H-I, ah, shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how did you not just, like, you're like, fuck. Because it's always like, oh, we're doing a documentary. And then they're like, but if they, you know, documentary could mean a lot of things. But mm-hmm. if they're having you spell your name, it's one thing.
Yeah.
It's Intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhoozle, back to the episode. That was another person's bingo square was Anyhoozle.
That's funny.
So, we get an entirely new intro.
Yeah. Talk about that budget.
It is weird because it's been the same for so long that I feel like it's going to take a really long time to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less childlike.
Agreed.
A lot less fun. The music is more demure. And it doesn't just have like those like graphics anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like the memes about like new sad McDonald's compared to like the one that we grew up with. You know what I mean? It feels like that. It's like everyone and everything tried to go like more sleek. And it's like, just keep it fucking corny. Mm-hmm. That's what that was the charms. We liked it fucking corny. And then you're like, oh, okay, we're like grown up now.
Can I relate it to something?
Absolutely.
Talk to me about the first like one season of the intro of Boy Meets World. Yeah, it was like a weird. Yeah, it was such.
That's when he's like tap dancing. Yep.
Even on Pod Meets World, they talk about how that intro was so bad. And then as like it went on, there was a point where they were like, okay, we got to get away from this like childish stuff and we got to get more serious.
And then there's when this boy meets world.
Yeah.
Boy meets world. Wandering around this road that we call life. And then they're in the back of like the
the convertible.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And like Danielle Fischel's hair is all flowing. Did you guys know? Have I told the story about how I ran into her on our honeymoon? Where is this episode going?
We haven't been back, so we haven't had
an outlet.
You guys
are getting it all. Have I told this story on here?
Do you want to tell it now or do you want to tell it at the end?
I mean, I feel like I got other things at the end.
Okay, so tell it now.
Really quickly. Tim and I are on our fucking honeymoon. We go to fucking Disneyland. I am being that person where I'm walking out of one of the stores on Main Street.
The candy store.
And Tim is saying something to me. I am being that person in this moment where I'm continuing to walk while turning around and going, huh, to Tim. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not normally that person. But in this moment, I was. Ran into a person. I go, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then I look up and this lady smiles and keeps walking. And I'm like, and I looked at Tim and I'm like, was that Topanga?
Was that Topanga?
It was fucking, I ran into Topanga. On my honeymoon.
Yep.
Literally.
Yep. I love you so much. I wish it was me.
She's got great hair, man.
Hottie.
Anyhoozle, where am I at?
Intro. Big budget intro.
What is happening this episode? You think, what is going on?
We're excited to be back.
Okay. So, the episode starts saying that it's December 10th and Lego Hair is filling us in on what's going on. Michelle has been admitted to a hospital and her blood pressure is nearing 200, which mm-hmm. means she's getting close to or within stroke range.
Yeah.
And Michelle is on a gurney and her face is noticeably flushed.
Very flushed, yeah.
Or more than flushed, actually. I mean, she's full-blown red. Like, mm-hmm. it's like you're like, oh, yeah, like this is not good. And obviously, this is very, very dangerous for both Michelle and the baby. And we see Jim Bob all suited up, like when you're
going to go back into the OR.
Yeah. And he tells the camera, quote, the situation is fixing to change our lives forever. Long pause while he kind of gathers himself before he says mm-hmm. forever. And he continues, but we praise God when all the good things are happening. And we praise God even during this difficult situation. So Jim Bob is tearing up and struggling as he speaks, and he's choked up. And God damn it, it made me tear up too.
Yeah.
Because even if you're a giant douche canoe, and we know that Jim Bob Duggar definitely qualifies as the biggest of canoes, I can't help but still get choked up when I see genuine emotion from another human being.
Yeah, it was very real.
Like, in that moment, he's, like, legitimately fearful in this mm-hmm. moment. So I can't fucking help it. It's like, you, even if it's fucking Jim Bob Duggar, like, I feel for him in this moment. I feel mm-hmm. his emotion. And, of course, I for Michelle and the baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, God damn it, I'm tearing up, too.
Yep. And then they go Tarantino style.
They do. So now TLC flashes back to 7 days earlier.
7 days.
They're getting a little cinematic with their storytelling now, you know? That's yeah. that season four flair, you know? They've picked up a few tricks along the way.
Yeah.
They're ready to roll them out now that things are getting serious. Maybe there's been a budget increase. I mean, because they got that new intro,
obviously,
you know?
Obviously been
so
a
like,
budget increase.
They're like, they didn't make this intro in, like, fucking Paint, so. Remember Paint, good. Man? You thought you could make the most amazing things, and you're like, look at this, and it's like a squiggle. You wrote your name in little spray paints, dots. Okay, so at first they just kind of recap scenes of announcing the pregnancy mm-hmm. and baby Cannon saying how she didn't know if she could get pregnant again, but of course she did, and how after her morning sickness passed, she was actually feeling really good this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Then in early December, Cannon starts having pain that she assumes was a kidney stone. But eventually the pain becomes too intense, and she ends up going to the ER on December 4th, where they end up finding gallstones. Mm-hmm. And Jim Bob is like, Michelle handles pain, so like when she actually complains or feels the need to do something,
really
you know
serious,
it's like serious.
Yeah. Oh, the gall.
Stones. So they also realize she's having like slight contractions, mm-hmm. but she's only 24 weeks along. So concerned for both Michelle and the baby, the next day on the 5th, they have her airlifted to UAMS Hospital in Little Rock. Now, that first hospital was Mercy Hospital in Rogers, the more local hospital, maybe like 25 minutes or so from Legoland.
Mm-hmm.
But Little Rock is 3 hours away. So you know things are serious when you're being airlifted yeah. hours away.
Mm-hmm.
There's real concern, and she needs to be in a place better equipped to provide the care that they need, not only for her, but specifically for if they're about to have a very premature baby.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is that she has a stone clogging the duct, and they're trying to avoid surgery, of course, since she's pregnant. So once in Little Rock, they have her on antibiotics for a few days, and the inflammation does go down. So the main thing that first brought her in is actually getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a new problem. Her blood pressure keeps spiking. And the medication at first seems to work for a little while, and then it would spike again.
Mm-hmm.
But back at Legoland, of course, the older girls are taking care of the kids. And even Pest and Anna are popping in to help.
We haven't had a sighting of them in a while.
It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, they're there. Anna's there to help. let's clarify this. Anna's helping. But there's this scene. Did you notice it? When Pest is sitting on the piano bench and he's talking to the camera. It's just the whole like, oh, well, normally gallstones wouldn't be a big deal, but, you know, because she's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he's talking to the camera and Anna is sitting next to him and she is not. Like, she's just not amused. Like, she doesn't have the smiley IBLP wife mask on at all.
No.
She looks kind of annoyed,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little pissed, mostly just tired, annoyed and tired.
Mostly just tired is real, man.
And I would be too. Like, who can fucking blame the girl? She's a first-time mom who you know is doing it all herself. Plus, she has that fucking giant beef jerky pickle smelling man baby sitting next to her to manage too. Homegirl is over it and exhausted. But I'm here for it because she's not playing the role. And then finally towards the end, she kind of musters up a tight-lipped nod and looks at him. It's definitely not an adoring gaze.
No.
It's more of like an annoyed glance. So you still got the same letters. Adoring gaze, annoyed glance. You know, close, you know? Yeah. She still got the AG.
Millie says, yeah, Dad's used to that second one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they end up getting an ultrasound at the hospital. So they find out the gender. And Lego Hair decides that they're going to send.
Send.
She says, at one point, Canon really says, we're sending. So I'm like, oh, it's in everything. So they're going to send a video to announce to everyone back home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for some reason, it printed out a blank page. Okay, we're good. So everyone back at Legoland is voting for what gender they think it'll be. And even Terry is there.
I know.
So they must have been eating and he rushed right over so he wouldn't miss a single bite.
They're like, are you here to figure out what the gender of the baby is? And he's like, Yeah.
He was like, dinner time.
poor guy.
But then also he sounds like an abusive piece of shit. That's so, true.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Also, side note, Deanna has dark hair in this era and it looks good.
Yeah, agree.
Like, I think the darker
It took me
hair
a little bit to realize who she was
I think
with
it
that
suits
dark
her.
Hair.
Like, she, yeah. like, she's had light hair, like, a lot of the time. I think mm-hmm. the dark looks good on her.
I agree.
So I was like, Deanna, go back to that.
Get it, girl.
Deanna, if you're listening, we like the dark hair. Anyhoozle. So they send the video over. And of course, it's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting reactions from the kids, but I'm just going to give some of the highlights. We don't need to get it all. So our dancing king said, yeah, it's neat, but I wish it was a boy because the girls are going to catch up on the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jason's, fucking Jason, dude. Jason says, it's good. And then he looks up at the cameraman, kind of confused, and says, the sunflower seeds or the baby?
Or the baby.
As he's sucking on sunflower seeds. And the cameraman is like, the baby. And Jason replies, oh yeah, it's good. I'm convinced. Are you?
Not remotely.
He couldn't give a fuck.
Hey, if those are pickle flavored sunflower seeds.
Oh jeez.
How does a Duggar,
which are delicious, by the way.
How does a Duggar focus when there's pickle sunflower
seeds?
He's
like, oh yeah, it's good. But he's like, but these sunflower seeds. I mean, this just seems classic Jason, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like
a little oblivious.
I just don't remember Jason being such a key thing, and now in my rewatch, I'm like, what fucking dark horse over here, fucking Jason.
Pale horse over here.
There you go. That's it. Okay, and this could be a debate. You're free to disagree. Is calling this a feral child moment, which is a new bingo score, is that a stretch? Is this a stretch?
Of him caring about sunflower seeds?
Like, the way he's, like, munching on, like, the sunflower seeds and is like, well, maybe, or the sunflower seeds?
I mean, he is kind of chomping. Let's give it. That'll be
Are
our
you
first...
Sure?
Yeah, that'll be our first bingo square of the season.
All right, so we're going feral child moment.
So exciting. What'd you use, tater tot or pickle?
I used a tater tot.
Okay.
And our girl, Hanny, says, I think it's a boy and a girl. I'm excited for it to be a boy and twins. And Jill pops in, like, she, like, comes from, like, a side room, and she's like, they know what it is. Did you hear what it is? What is it? And Hanny says, a girl. And Jill is like, so why do you still think it's a boy? And she says, it's not. It's a boy and a girl. So that's our girl.
It was that little kid like mentality of like, you're pretending like you get it, but you really don't.
I just love it because I feel like it's like she just like set in her ways and she's like, this is what it is. This is what I want.
Is this our girl, Hanny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely our girl.
Let's get it.
Our girl. So all of this coincides with their annual mission trip to El Salvador, and the 11 oldest kids are still going, plus Fami, and just Lego Harris staying back, as he fucking should.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Grandma, Pest, Anna, and two other family friends are staying with the little kids while all their moms are away. Because it's not just Michelle.
I didn't understand who that older boy was for a while. I was like, who is this random? And then I'm like, oh, yeah,
it's one of theirs.
Yeah.
So Jill talks about how usually she's not the one in charge because she has older siblings, she says. But really, Josh and John David don't fucking count. So that just leaves Jana. Let's be real. And she continues, I like to be a follower, but I guess I can step up and be in charge when I have to. And Jill really is the one running the show this time around.
Yeah.
She's handling checking
in for it.
All 30 bags at the airport
mm-hmm.
and handling their frequent flyer miles.
Yep. She has all the passports.
She's running the show, not Jana.
No.
It's interesting. So they felt okay letting the kids still go because at this point in time is when the meds were for the stones were working. So they thought she was getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But just as they were getting ready to leave is when her blood pressure began spiking.
Yeah.
And then my own blood pressure spikes because there's a scene of Pest walking out of the bedroom at the Tater Tot Mansion. And he's looking all sleepy-like.
Oh, 100%.
Laying it on thick with the fucking sleepy face. And says, quote, I am hanging out here. I'm getting to enjoy two crying babies all night long. Shut the fuck up. Like you don't do a damn thing. Oh, you're so tired. Like, and you'll understand why I say, in the future, you'll understand when I say, I highly doubt he didn't sleep through it. But I'm just saying. You'll understand. God. I find it hard to believe he wasn't fucking snoozing away through every fucking cry.
Okay.
So Anna is taking care of Mackenzie and Jordan. So, you know, Mackenzie's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna says, it's been a lot of fun. But homegirl looks so tired.
There was so much subtext.
She's so tired.
She was a sub shop. Like, there was so much subtext in what she said.
She's so tired. Also interesting, because Anna specifically says that Jill was the one who called to ask if they could come stay at the house and help.
Mm-hmm.
So Jill really is running the circus.
Yeah.
And we get a bingo square, because Grandma Mary says, we're just taking care of the little ones.
The little ones,
and
yep.
And little ones is one of our new squares. All right. Pest and Anna also say little ones many times from here mm-hmm. on out. But Pest also says he hasn't been an active member of the house in a year. And everyone is thankful for that. But he said he's had to come back in and reestablish that he's their older brother and in charge.
Oh, yeah. Yeesh. There hasn't been, and it was very weird seeing him in that environment, knowing that he hasn't, like, he wasn't involved in, like, the last
Nothing.
Half of that last season. And I think part of it was on purpose. And I have ideas that they were trying to see if they could spin it off.
I don't think so. I know you think that, but I don't think so.
I'll take that to my grave. Just because I feel like in an environment like this, like they were trying to figure out whatever they could to try to get as much out of it as they could, you know. But yeah, it is weird seeing him talk so much when you haven't seen him at all recently, you know.
Mm-hmm. And at like one point later on, he's like, well, the kids are being pretty good. I mean, they're not being like perfect, but he's just like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like. It's funny because he's been around that his whole life. And then suddenly because he's somewhat like alone, not alone, he's not really doing anything. But it's like now he's like, well, we're just not being that good. Another funny Dancing King moment. The cameraman asks where El Salvador is. And at first, Jackson says, not far away.
Mm-hmm.
But then Justin says, yeah, it is. And then he whispers in his ear. And then Jackson says, Oh, it's on the other side of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, like he knew.
On the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And then just another little tidbit. There's a moment where Johanna says, I miss Mama. So clearly Jill's absence is really setting in.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a point in this where Joy gives the double thumbs up.
Oh, does she? Where did I miss it? What point?
I totally missed this chunk.
You don't have specifics for me?
I don't have specifics
there. You
have
shit notes.
But I do have Joy double thumbs up.
But
in this moment of timeline. It was because as people are talking and they're like moving into the next scenes and stuff, they're filming her doing something and she gives the double thumb.
I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
Put a pickle on it. So down in El Salvador, they're self-filming because a crew didn't go along this time. And they're working to help clean up houses that suffered from flooding and mudslides from a recent hurricane.
Yeah.
And I'd say we get an inappropriate attire bingo square, which we kept because the girls, because it's a good one, because it can go through so many different things.
Yeah.
But I'd say that we get that square because the girls are still doing this cleanup work in skirts. Now,
it's true. Yeah.
I will say that there's not a lot of footage since it was self-shot, but from a very tiny glimpse, it looks like Ginger may have at least been wearing sneakers, but they don't really show because they're filming themselves. They don't really pan down.
Feet.
Yeah. But let me tell you, if the crew had been there, the camera would have zeroed in on their shoes and skirts for sure. And then we would have gotten one of our other new squares, which one of our new squares is the OG Snarkers,
mm-hmm.
because it's always how, like,
yeah,
they've kind of done the work for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really too bad that they weren't there. Because you can think of all these past episodes. Remember when they were at the race when they're all in their fucking, and
yeah.
then like going deep, like going zooming in on Ginger's sandals, do you remember?
Yeah.
Or like Pat, like when they were at El Salvador before and like they zoomed in on them hiking, like, you know, like
yeah.
or, you know, just yeah. So if they had been there, it would have happened. But
can
so
I shout out something from this part? Like,
yeah.
So we're in a weird moment of watching Jilly Croissant because we know like where they get at the end. We know where they are now with the book and we've seen a window into her time here, like in this environment. So watching her be relatively assertive, but then also having her moments of being a little dweeby, and I mean that with all the positive in the world, was really nice to see. Because it was nice to see that, like, she has her personality, but at the end of the day, she's getting shit done.
Yeah.
So it was, I felt really good about a lot of the Jill scenes in this, because you're like, oh, you're so endearing. Like, you are in, I'm still endeared to you so much, but you're still, like, fucking knocking shit out. So I appreciate that.
So, because, like,
here's girl.
I feel for Jana, because I feel like Jana's just, she got fucking shit on her entire life.
Hundo.
But Jana's not a particularly endearing person. You know what I mean?
I don't think we see like any of her personality.
Even later
at all.
On, but, like, even later on when she is more involved and in more interviews,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying she's, like,
off-putting.
The most off-putting. She kind of has a shit. Her shit doesn't sink vibe at times. Just wait. I mean, I don't want to talk about too much. But all I'm saying is, even at some of her best, like, there's not something to her that I'm particularly endeared to. I have a lot of compassion for her, and
agreed.
I feel for her, and I feel like she's gotten a really shitty deal, and a lot of there's a lot of other things. But personality wise, I'm not particularly endeared to her.
Mm-hmm.
But like Jill has that side where you're like, oh, you can be like. You can be endearing. Your dweebiness is endearing. You know, so that's like, that's kind of like the difference.
It's funny.
So back in Little Rock, Michelle's blood pressure now reaches 200. So she's officially diagnosed with preeclampsia. So this whole episode is really back and forth. So bear with me. But that's why it's like, it really is like flash one scene. Like it's not like,
oh, yeah.
It's not divided up the way it's normally kind of like. mm-hmm. here's two to three things, like segments. It's yeah. like flash, flash, flash.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting because Anna's just kind of thrown in. She's got her very own new baby.
You said a mouthful, honey.
In a lot, yeah, right? God, no fucking kidding. So she's got her very own, very new baby to take care of as a first-time mother. And suddenly mm-hmm. she's taking care of all these other kids, too.
Yeah.
And she says it's a crash course in parenting and a learning experience. Because, you know, you always got to have that IBLP, like, positive spin.
So that spin, yep. That PR.
So there's a kind of funny moment when Jennifer has scaled the stairs railing, but from like the outside.
On the outside, yeah. yeah.
And Anna, like when she notices, she goes fucking running. Like she books yep. it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I have never seen baby Cannon hoof it the way she did. Cannon's kid can be fucking choking and she's like, excuse me a moment. You know, and she just kind of like fucking saunters over there and she's like, thank you, Jamesy bug. And at least Anna has some like knee to chest action, you know, so I give her a little fucking
high knees.
Let's be real. The bar is very low. But I'm like, oh, she showed concern and urgency. Good job, Anna. You know, we're not used to that around these parts.
Can I interject with something on the same level? There's a stand-up comedian that I follow that talks about how when you're the difference in somebody having kids and not having kids comes when you're talking to them on the phone. Because he was like, I realize that
is it Jim Gaffigan?
Jim Gaffigan, but it's like I realize that when I'm trying to talk to somebody on the phone and then I also have kids in the house, I'm a lunatic. Because I'm having normal conversations and then it's like I have Tourette's where I just come up. And he was like, I was having a conversation and I'm like, well, you know, this show's about to start, but we're going to do, hey, I told you not to bite the dog. Don't bite the dog. So we should start filming on Monday, you know, really. Like he's like, it's just these little things of like.
That's how I feel talking to my sisters. I swear to God. Like, now their kids are a little bit older. Well, there's one left. But it's like, I remember telling them, like, you can't have a fucking conversation. Like, it's impossible. It's fucking impossible.
Don't bite the dog.
Anywhoozle. So, good on you, Anna. You hoofed it over there.
Man, yeah. High knees. Yep. High knees.
Knee to chest. We appreciate it. So, now we're sort of circling back to the cold open. With Michelle's blood pressure continually rising.
Yeah.
They have no choice but to deliver the baby before she has a stroke. She's prepped for an emergency C-section, and Josie Brooklyn is born on December 10th, weighing in at a mere 1 pound, 6 ounces. In a talking head, Cannon recounts how Leg O'Hare told her head was the size of a pool ball.
Yeah. Can I relate it to something personal?
Yeah.
I have two things about this. There's a scene right before this happens where Leg O'Hare gives her a can of fruit. Now, culinarian, I love fruit. There's something nostalgic about canned fruit.
Give me a canned fucking mandarin orange. Hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Put the whole can in the fridge. Not even, I'm not saying empty the can. And then, like, no, put the whole can in the fridge.
Yep. Diced pears out of a can. Pear. Stop
a fucking
it.
Pear. I love a pear. You know what? All these other people are like apples. No, pear is the money fruit. Pears.
canned fruit is delicious. I don't care who you are on this planet. I know that there's better ways to have it fresher. Canned fruit is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I wanted to say during this is... So I have one cousin, Mike, who's around my age, and we spent a lot of time together growing up, and I didn't have a sibling, so he was like my might-as-well-be sibling. And I remember we were both born premature, which is funny, because now I'm like one of the bigger members of my family, and everyone's like, oh, you were... Like, I was supposed to be born, if I remember correctly, like first week of February. And I was born on December 30th. So that's yeah. early, you know. But my cousin Mike was born early as well. And I remember when he was born, my godmother told me that they couldn't find clothes that would fit him. So they were legitimately buying like doll clothes to get him things to wear when he was when he was like an absolute newborn. So in this part where they were like, oh, her head's the size of like a pool like ball, that was what I thought of immediately, because at one point in me growing up, I remember there was a picture that was taken of my grandmother, my godmother, and my aunt, who was Mike's mom, holding like three boxes of like doll clothes, because they were like, this is what we had to buy him. So
interesting.
I just always think about that.
I think there's more resources now, but it's like, yeah, it's true. Back then there probably wasn't, you know what yeah. I mean? Yeah. So, being only 25 weeks along, Josie's chance of survival is 80%, which is, I mean, 80 is good compared, but like, that's just what the yeah. doctors say. Also, side note, Jordan's birthday is December 18th. So for 8 days, Josie and Jordan are the same age.
Weird.
Now the older kids are back in town from their mission trip, and the whole family is headed to Little Rock to meet the baby. And we finally get a glimpse of the cell phone bell clip.
Yeah, I was waiting.
It was elusive there for a yeah. while. It's like it knew it wasn't an official square anymore. it's just the... It's the free square, so it doesn't really count towards a bingo.
Yeah.
But I felt like it fucking knew, and it was like, oh, I'm not official anymore? You can wait till the end. It knew.
Yeah.
So all the kids crowd around Josie, and it's honestly the absolute quietest I've ever heard the whole group of kids be.
Yeah.
All together. It was eerily quiet for them. There's a little bit of whispering and like whatever, but for them, it is... as close to silent as you can get.
Yeah, it was awkward. You could tell the older girls had like started to kind of tear up a little bit.
Well, you can sort of see the shock across many of their faces.
Yeah.
Like their mouths are actually gaped open at points. And I've always said that Jill seems to be the most sensitive and in touch with her feelings way before her book. Like I've been saying that since.
Yeah.
I've been saying that since forever. This isn't just me being like, I got a hard on for Jill or blah, 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 or being swayed by her book. I have always said that she seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
You've just always been able to feel it. And so Jill begins to cry first as she looks down at Josie, which would be me too. Mm-hmm. I would just be so overwhelmed and overcome with the shock and emotion of how small she is.
Yeah.
That there's no way I wouldn't tear up too. It's just so I feel her on that. And then after that, Ginger and Anna begin to cry a little as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the episode ends. So you get sort of an idea of what the focus will be this entire season, as they have a long road ahead of them in regards to baby Josie, as she is considered a micro preemie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously at this point, you're looking at a very long NICU stay, and it comes with the risk of many complications, some of which could last throughout their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'd give a few, since we're Diglis, besides my, you know, insecurities earlier. since we're Diglis, just a few little extra facts about micro preemies. So they need oxygen as their lungs aren't fully developed, which is one of the, like, even my niece that was like a month early, like you're waiting for the lungs. That's usually like that thing. Feeding takes several steps before they can be released. In the beginning, they'll often need nutrition given via IV because they can't even absorb properly yet. And then they move on to a feeding tube before they can begin sucking to feed. So that's usually like 34 to 35 weeks. So if you think about it, if she's 25 weeks, she's got 10 weeks before the average time that she's going to be able to even be able to feed properly.
Mm-hmm.
They're also unable to regulate their own body temperature. Their skin is very thin.
Super thin, yeah.
And they have very delicate blood vessels. Mm-hmm. So that's also another reason they don't get handled a lot. And finally, the average NICU stay for a baby born at 25 weeks gestation is 108 days. But obviously, that's just an average, and every case is different.
Mm-hmm.
One last tidbit. The world record for the most premature surviving baby is Curtis Means. And Curtis was born July 5th, 2020 in Alabama at just 21 weeks along.
Yeah.
At birth, he weighed 14.8 ounces.
It's crazy.
So not even a pound. Not so it's like pound, you're looking at yeah. Josie and she's a pound 6 ounces and he wasn't even a pound.
Damn.
And he's a fucking cutie now. And he's cute. He's real cute.
And I think it's hard to think sometimes I relate everything to like how I get things in kitchens of like weight when I'm trying to envision weight. And I know that like before I started cooking and like paying attention to those things, when people were like, oh my God, it was a X pound baby. And I didn't really have any response because I'm like, I don't really have a way to quantify in my brain how that is. But now knowing, like, being so aware of the weight of things and how they come into my kitchens when they're like, oh my God, not even a pound. I'm like, I couldn't even imagine.
Well, like, there's two of us in this house, and it's actually really funny. My oldest sister has been joking for years, way before we had this podcast, that I'm incapable of not cooking as if the Duggars are coming over. Which is funny because she doesn't even, like, watch the show. She doesn't listen to the podcast. But she's like, Whitney always cooking likes for the Duggars. But it's true. When you've worked in the settings that I have and, like, catering and stuff, it's kind of mm-hmm. hard for me to, like, I can't cook for two and like the average, like,
yeah,
here's dinner with maybe a little bit of leftovers.
Yeah.
So I'm getting at this to say that anytime I cook something with ground beef, I always use 2 pounds. Even though it's just the two of us, it's 2 pounds every time. So I'm like, that kid doesn't even weigh half of our dinner. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm making fucking goulash. Or what else do I make with ground beef? I don't know. Or like
sour cream noodle.
Yeah, thing. I'm making sour cream noodle. Like, there's less of him than there is the beef in my sour cream noodle bake.
Oh, yeah.
There's less of that kid.
It's crazy.
Half of what I put in the sour cream noodle bake is what he is.
Yep. Crazy.
Think about it like that. If you don't think about pounds in the terms of the beef in your sour cream noodle bake, I mean, what else are you doing?
I mean, what are you quantifying
there? How can you even imagine it?
So we got belt clip late. We did get a Jana Speaks. She said
very,
one line.
Okay. Very, very briefly. It is just her on the... on the intercom, like on the phone to the intercom. But like during all these different points, they're never her directing. Nope. There's never, what do you think of the gender? There's none of that.
Yep.
Nothing. Jana. So we do get one, but it is kind of a pitiful one.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I do have, can I give you my final notes of just like wrap up things that I noticed? The first one was when Famie was on the mission. They let her say one line, and it was when they were cleaning up after the hurricane, and she was like, we're cleaning, and we take one wrong step, and the whole house comes down on us, something along those lines.
So yeah.
It was a little bit of Famie going fame. Our dancing king, we love that kid. He also has that little kid thing where, like, at one point when they were talking to him, he had something red...
drank,
and it's that thing where he like licked his lips, so like around his lips was like painted red, and there's a very specific like style of child where you look at him and you're like, oh, you have punch all around
punch,
your mouth.
But there's like there was always that kid that had punch mouth 24 fucking 7. I'm like, are you ever not drinking punch? Is that all you drink? Do you just, like, dip your mouth in punch?
This
like,
kid
do you
is just, dipping like, his mouth in Hawaiian punch.
Like, I feel like they're just, like it's just, like, waiting. Just their lip area waiting in fucking Hawaiian punch.
Yep. So, our dancing king is also punch mouth king. So, that's one.
We don't have a punch mouth king square. I'm sorry. Is that what you're asking? Is that what you're getting at?
It's
we didn't
have
that.
It's the dark horse for next season. The other one is, which was the child that was like
really rough when they went to El Salvador. The one that was like waking up early and he looked like he was hungover.
And Josiah looked at it again. He looked at it again this time. Yes. Again. He was still sitting there. I'm like, Josiah fucking struggles.
He had sunglasses on. It was all early. But he was rough.
Because I remember saying last time, like, he looks like he's fucking hungover because he was like, the way he like had his head in his hands. And this year, like, he's got the fucking sunglasses. I'm like, this is what Saya looks like. Fucking on the sauce.
He does not.
You know? Like, yep. This is exactly how he'd be.
Yep.
Again, yeah, I totally, I didn't write it down, but I remember thinking, I'm like, Josiah goes again.
Oh, yeah.
He can't fucking hang, man.
He was having a bad time.
I should do a compilation of the last time and this time.
You should.
Maybe that should be real.
The last two things I have is there is a talking head with Hanny and Jackson, and they're adorable.
Yep. They continue.
They're so funny together.
Those two.
Yep. And then the last thing I just had is way too much pest in this episode.
Yeah, I know. And he's wearing a fucking leather jacket. I'm like, oh, stop. You're not like the fucking Fonz. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a whole lot of jukeboxes that are playing hymns, you know, for him to,
they got
for
amazing
him to turn
grace
back
on. Someone put on amazing, you know, like everything you watch, everything like whatever, it's always like Amazing Grace. That's like the fucking thing. It's like Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. And so like, is that like the jukebox full of like Amazing Grace? And then maybe, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. Ouch.
God said to Noah, there's gonna be a floody.
So two things. We got 6 squares, which is not bad for a season opener.
No,
not
at all.
Not bad. The best I got was 2 at a time, 3 in 3 places.
I had 3.
Oh, did you?
Mm.
So, not bad for a season opener and a new board. And also just a random thought I had. TLC could have made this a much more like dramatic episode. And they didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they could have made it really, like, oh my gosh, the drama. Oh my gosh, it's so scary. Mm-hmm. Like, and there was, like, a couple moments of it, but then they would. Yeah, so they really lightened it in a way that I thought that they would, like. And I know it's not meant to be this, like, heavy show all the time, but you would think that maybe they'd be, like, oh, this is the one
where
we can, like.
For the drama.
But no, they didn't. It was really, like, a all over the place episode while still being, like. Because that is legitimately, like, a very scary thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they. And then they're like, and then look at this over here. I don't know. Yeah. It's just interesting.
I think they changed lanes a lot to kind of maybe dissipate a little bit of, like, how. It's like, this was scary. Like,
yeah.
We've seen this woman give birth before, and there's never been issues like this. So when you have it, and like you said, when you look at Lego, and he's kind of a lot more emotional and serious than he has been before, like it's kind of a stark contract, you
yeah
know?
So. I would actually think that they would go through that more because they're like, oh, it's this one like really like
mm-hmm.
episode, but then no, they don't. So interesting.
Yeah.
Are you ready to do your digging on?
I'm ready.
You want to go first?
Nope, I want you to go first.
I think you should go first.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I created.
So when I said, do you want to go first? That was a statement, not a question. Clearly.
Women, am I right? Wives, am I right?
You want to go first.
She didn't say it through clenched teeth, so I didn't get the sincerity of it. Okay. Mine's another media one. And it is a song that has been stuck in my head for like 4 weeks now. And it is a song by an artist out of Austin named Shaky Graves. And the song is called Dearly Departed. And it's a song that during Austin, or South by Southwest in Austin, he recorded a live version with the woman that's his kind of like writing partner, Esme Patterson. And they sing the song like out on like a pool deck, and it's just him with the guitar and her there, and he explains it where he was like, I've never done harmony stuff live, and we wrote this, and it's kind of this like throwback to some old like country style things, but like the song is incredible. And for pickle people, I'll post it. it is not only watching two people sing and perform together that it just like get it, like they vibe really well together. It's just a really good song and it's catchy and it gets stuck in your head. It is incredible. So, okay. Dearly Departed.
Do I know this? I don't know this one then.
You've heard me singing it, okay. And you've heard me listen to it on a speaker. So, Dearly Departed by Shaky Graves. And it's amazing. Like, it's still, like, I have it stuck in my head still for the past, like, couple of weeks. So
you're digging it?
I am digging on Dearly Departed by Shaky Graves.
Okay. Nice. Mine is, well, what do you know? It's holiday related. But I feel like before with Halloween, I'm going to try to make it different. Let me try to make it. Okay. So, like, before with Halloween, I was like, oh, just, like, the whole thing and, like, basking in it. So, in an attempt to make it different, I'll give something more specific.
Okay.
I am digging on Christmas music, the official start.
Okay.
So, I just love it. Like, I have my whole fucking playlist. You know, I do one thing. Or, you know, this is the time of year that Tim has to listen to me sing Christmas Vacation constantly. It's that time. And to be specific, here's the problem. Spotify does not have
the OG.
The OG. Like, no. I'm talking about the intro that's playing during the, like, cartoon, the animated, like, Santa thing in the beginning. Like,
with the skinny ankles?
With his I'm like, how does it have those skinny little ankles and how do they hold up that body? But it's the, because like you hear these other versions and they're, but like this one is soulful. It's like, it's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.
Boom,
boom, boom. Okay, so that is the only. There's other ones that they're just like, no.
Yeah,
no,
it's not the same. No. You know what goes through my head?
Soulful.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No, go for it.
The way that Whitney sings it sometimes reminds me if, like, Neil Diamond was singing that song.
It's when I say Santa's on his way, huh?
Here's that sleigh. Santa's on his way.
No, it's like, here's that sleigh. Santa's on his way. And he always says, okay, Neil.
It goes through my head every time.
Hooray for Christmas vacation.
My amendment to that is that it's not Neil Diamond doing it. It's Jimmy Fallon doing a Neil Diamond impression doing it. Santa's on his way.
So Tim thinks I sound like Neil Diamond. Great. But yeah, Christmas music, man. Fucks me up in a good way. Yeah. Love it. Tim has to hear a lot of it.
Yep. And I have a playlist that's like all the music. Ching-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. It's so good. Me and Whitney have a playlist together on Spotify of like a lot of the old classics. But then I also have my own that's called Tim Cribbis.
I thought we're on that one together too.
Are we on that one together? Because yeah. That one has a whole bunch of like funny songs and like punk song, like punk covers of stuff. Me and Whitney are gonna go see Me First in the Gimme Gimmes in like 2 days, and it's for their Christmas show, and their version of Santa Baby is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Santa Baby.
Especially because it's Me First. It's Spike singing it with a bunch of like old punk dudes. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So yeah, I'm digging on Christmas music.
Good call.
But just some little added tidbits for the people who... By this point, okay, can I just have a moment? Can I talk about holidays? The have people who don't care about this shit, they've already left anyway. If you don't care about this shit, just go. It's the end of the podcast.
Okay? Listen to Shaky Graves first, but then you
then
can
you
go.
Then you can go. Mm-hmm. Okay. For the rest
you're dismissed.
Of you who care... Exactly. Dismissed. So for the rest of you who give a shit... So, you know, I was posting for about half of October. I started about halfway through, and I was doing my daily... festive mug.
The mug,
It was mug festive mug watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be starting the Christmas version December 1st, which will probably be the day that this is releasing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to our stories daily through Christmas Day, I will be posting mm-hmm. a different festive mug. If you're into that shit. Something, a little side tidbit. So I've talked about how when I tried to tell myself, like, is there anything I missed about my old job? You know, when I was like, is there anything? And I came up mm-hmm. with, like, three things. One of which was using their printer ink every once in a while. but one of them was majorly the thing that comes to mind is just that I liked having that outlet for doing festive things and kind of like organizing some things. Mm. And, you know, I talked about my forcing fall feels thing and I had fashion forward Fridays. I'm a fucking slut for alliterations. But another thing, the first thing that started it all is my very first year I started Festive Fridays.
Yeah.
And those Fridays, okay, I've got Christmas shirts and gear to last me the whole fucking month. But I started at my job every Friday between Thanksgiving and Christmas was Festive Friday. And the people in the office would join in with me. So I was just thinking if our listeners would like to join in on Festive Friday, however that looks for them, whether that's a Hanukkah sweater or a winter outfit. Mm-hmm. The only thing that sucks, though, is like back in the day, it's like you did like fucking hashtags are obsolete now, you know? You don't post to your grid anymore. Like, you don't just... Remember back in the day where we're all just posting like pictures of our fucking dinner and like our OOTD, like our outfit of the day? You don't do that anymore. So it's like that
Why Skipper for Mildred didn't catch as much steam. No, it didn't. Because hashtags are a thing of the past.
Yeah. So it's like back in the day, I would have said like, oh, post a picture in your festive outfit and hashtag it like hashtag Festive Fridays DUTD.
Yeah.
But like nobody's fucking doing that anymore.
Tag us in it.
I guess.
I think that's the only thing you
but
can
like,
do.
Yeah, like, because, like, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you guys want to feel like you've got a bunch of diggers on your level and we're all dressed up together on Fridays, solidarity, we're here with you. Hashtag Festive Fridays, D-U-T-D, that nobody will do. But that's fine. But I will post what I'm wearing.
But join us.
But I will post what I'm wearing that's festive on Fridays. Oh, and we didn't talk about this because we were talking about Thanksgiving. I was like, we should have. Because now I'm just on the thing, okay? So I think Tim and I started a new tradition on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
I think that's something we'll stick with. So we like to gift each other a lot of Christmas things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of ornaments. But it's either, like, you give them all early or you're waiting till Christmas Day and they have to wait till the next year to use it.
Correct.
So Tim and I decided on Thanksgiving we exchanged what we already had for each other that was Christmas related. So ornaments, and I gave him a shirt and, you know, things like that. Now, if we collect more over the season, we can give them to each other on Christmas Day. But it was just kind of like a fun little kickoff.
Yeah.
So, like, you got me, like, three ornaments, and I got you a couple. I got you, like, three ornaments as well, and then
we got a shirt. Pack of newspapers that talk about the wet bandits from Home Alone.
Yep.
I got you shrimp cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got me oysters.
A tray of oysters on the half shell with lemon. A plate of asparagus.
Yes.
And was that it?
Yeah.
I got Mildred a very detailed can of tuna.
Because we had sardines, but this is a can of tuna.
It's like half cracked open, so you can see the tuna inside. It's amazing.
Yep. So that's for Mildred's tree. I got you a lot of cocktails because...
Ooh, churros.
Oh, yeah, you got me churros. That's
we
right.
We got a bag, got churros, like a paper bag that has churros in it. That's right. Yeah.
But, so, you guys, FYI, I've had five trees for a couple years. Over the summer, on clearance, I bought two more trees, so we have seven. So, I got a skinny aluminum tree that's going to go next to our bar cart, so that's going to be our bar tree. So, we'll be able to move all cocktail-related items off the food tree and onto the... to the bar tree. Now we don't have a lot of that, but we'll grow. It'll grow. It was like it was a lot when you looked at it on the food tree, but when you put it on a separate tree, you're like, okay, there's not as much, but we have many years to grow it.
I bought you two more.
Oh, cocktails?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll be fine. But like I'm gonna move like the olive on there because even that to me is like martini, you know, or whatever.
We have a lot of like bottles, like tequila bottle.
Because I got you Aperol. I got you a Bloody Mary that has shrimp on it, so it's funny that we both give shrimp. And what was it? Oh, a bottle of champagne in a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the joke that I made when we went to go see White Christmas was I was like, you would be that person that would go up to the table that says cocktails, and you'd be like, shrimp, please.
On the rocks.
Yeah.
And
it felt very Liz Lemon in 30 Rock, where when they go out to the club and... Jenna's like, oh, that guy wants to buy you a drink. And she's like, I already have a drink. Can you buy me mozzarella sticks instead?
And, so, and we were talking that night. I'm like, not 100%, but there's a good 60% of me that is Liz Lemon.
I mean, that was the night that you were a fashionista, right?
I mean, yeah. So the other, so the seventh, so that's the sixth tree is the bar tree. The seventh tree, I got a tree. I haven't even opened it yet. Shaped like a cactus.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put like Arizona ornaments on it. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I don't really have that. So that's another thing we have to start getting. But I just thought it was cool.
Proud of our home state.
So we have seven trees.
It's not perfect, but we love it.
And because you brought up White Christmas, can I bring up something real quick, sure, about the show?
Sure.
So in the movie, the general is a fucking hottie patati because he's like a silver fox,
fucking
right?
He's a silver fox.
Like he's very, like, yeah, he's
steely eyes.
He's good looking, okay?
Mm-hmm. And good looking,
like,
older man.
When we were like, I was like, ooh, what do you think? And then when we were looking in the playbill, I was like, ooh, not looking good. And then when he got up on stage, I was like, no, he's not the same
not
general.
The same.
He's a different take on the general.
Mm-hmm.
But I only bring this up because I'm like, is there any other ladies out there who can agree with me? I mean, Tim agrees with me, so it must
be
true.
He was a good-looking dude.
He's a good
That's what I aspire to be as an older man.
No, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah. He has a little cardigan. But, yeah, he's, like, gray hair, but, like, the beautiful eyes, a little tan, like, you know, like.
Note to self.
He's a good-looking dude.
Buy cardigan. Okay, cool.
So the general was not quite the general. Good actor.
Didn't sell insurance.
But All right, I guess that's enough. I've yammered on enough about my insecurities, running into Topanga, the
silver
general,
foxes,
festive Fridays, mm-hmm. lots of mentions of shrimp, both Bloody Mary and cocktail.
Oh, man.
I was a fucking belle of the ball fashionista influencer.
True.
I mean, what is this? What is going on here? This episode is a fucking gamut of things.
Welcome back. This is a good episode.
No dig, though. But hey, you know.
As usual.
Next week.
Feel free to buy us a pickle or a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/diggingupthedug.
Where you can buy us single pickles, or you can join and buy us a pickle monthly where you get...
Our servant's heart.
Mm-hmm. You can buy us a pickle monthly, and we have some bonus content over there.
Yep. If you can enjoy our episode visuals and other shenanigans on Instagram at Digging Up the Duggars Pod. And if you would like to send Mildred anything through snail mail, we do have a P.O. Box, 5973 Glendale, Arizona, 85312. It feels good to be back. It was nice to take a little bit of a break, but... it's really nice to be back. I feel like I missed you guys. And just remember one thing. As Neil Diamond said, Santa's on his way.